This program is both a radio show and a podcast, and it also is associated with a blog and a Substack. And the radio show component is airs on about, it's up to about a dozen stations all over the country. And I, again, our perspective is brought to you from the upper Midwest, from flyover country, from rural red America, but it's certainly a relevant conversation wherever you live. Sometimes we talk about stuff happening here in Iowa because, again, we think it should, stuff you should know about. But again, a lot of times we're talking about the bigger, broader concerns that affect everybody everywhere. And here's one of them. The story in The Guardian this week, Donald Trump reinforced comments made by Brendan Carr, who is the chair of the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. Carr was threatening the broadcast licenses of news organizations that report unfavorably on the war in Iran. Okay. What did Trump say? Well, he said on a Truth Social post, he was thrilled that Carr was, quote, looking at the licenses of some of these corrupt and highly unpatriotic news organizations. And I'm saying it like that because he's writing in all caps, and I don't know how else to. Then he says, Trump says, they get billions of dollars of free American airwaves and use it to perpetuate lies. There's so much wrong with that sentence, those sentences. I don't even know where to start. Free American airwaves? Let me tell you about free American airwaves. Again, a lot of people, this is probably not something you're familiar with because it's kind of inside baseball for somebody who's involved with radio. And I've been involved with radio for 17 years now. There are commercial stations. Those are the big signals, the megawatts. In Iowa, it's WHO radio, which stretches nearly across the whole state. Now, stations like that and other big stations have all been bought by a handful of big companies, iHeart, Sinclair, Cumulus. My show used to be on a station owned by Citadel, and Cumulus bought that one. And they're able to do this because thanks to Bill Clinton, yeah. Bill Clinton signed the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which allowed these big corporations to buy multiple signals in any given market. Previously, because these American airwaves, as Trump says, are, quote, free. Yes, they should be free. They should be free. Obviously, you got to manage them, but there should be a level of freedom on in terms of who accesses these stations. That doesn't happen anymore. Again, thanks to, Newt Gingrich, when he was Republican Speaker of the House, and Bill Clinton, they got rid of the limit on how many stations a big corporation can own. Tie that with what happened back in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan, and the elimination of the fairness doctrine, you no longer have to have balance. So, I mean, you know, I guess I should say I first got involved with radio back in the late 80s, early 90s, before I was a legislator. I would go on a show hosted by a pretty right-wing guy, Jan Michelson. He would at least have me on the program. In fact, on three or four occasions when he had to take a break, he let me come and host. So even back in the 90s, there was at least a little more balance on these big stations. Now you won't find that at all. It doesn't exist. The biggest stations just basically shamelessly broadcast themselves as a voice of the Republican Party. And not just Republican writ generally with, you know, a big tent, but a very specific perspective from the Republican universe. Anyway, so That's the commercial radio that we have no access to. They're commercial radios because they are stations because they have commercials and they can say whatever they want. Yeah, they can't drop the F-bomb, but they can say what they want politically. They can say go out and vote for this person. They can criticize certain legislation. They can only have on the people they want. So what does that leave? That leaves public radio, which I like, but it's very specific. And, you know, getting into public radio, no, it's not going to happen. And I do feel sorry for public radio because they really aren't public radio anymore. They Their funding was cut years and years ago, and it was eliminated this past year. And they have learned how to try to get by with a version of advertising called underwriting. And overall, I appreciate public radio mostly, but a lot of it is funded by the same, you know, business and corporate interests that that find their way into commercial radio. And I will say, you know, disclaimer, my program, my podcast, has underwriters as well that are small, a handful of small locally owned businesses that I have trust are doing that are doing good work and that I know personally. But with the community-owned stations, you're only allowed to have underwriters, and you you can't endorse a candidate. So I can't tell you to go out and vote for blank. I can't tell you to go out and support certain legislation. I'm also not allowed to drop the F-bomb, which is a good thing. But the bottom line is there's this system in place, commercial, public radio, and community-owned. And you may have guessed it by now, but the community-owned stations are tiny. They're small. So yeah, I'm on a dozen stations. They're all very small stations. I'm delighted to be able to access them. I'm delighted that there are people in those communities that have found a way to purchase the license and to pay for the cost that you need to, you know, you need to build a tower, an antenna, a monitoring board. There are all kinds of things you need to do to make sure that you can operate that station. And I appreciate that people do that. And I appreciate that some of them, you know, allow this program to be on there. But what's going to happen now? I mean, I'm not, you know where I stand on the Iran war. And I've been an equal opportunity critic. If I see a problem from a Democratic politician or administration or a Republican politician or administration, I think it needs to be called out. I won't tell you who to vote for. I won't tell you what bills to vote for or to support. But I will tell you when I think something's off key or when something's going right. And right now, I think the war in Iran is clearly misguided. I think most Americans feel that. Most people, they understand that there was no real plan for getting into it, for what our goals are there, for getting out of it. And, you know, here in Iowa, we've already had three of the Americans killed or from here in central Iowa. So that's hitting home here. And for Brendan Carr and Donald Trump to say that, you know, the media is only allowed to say favorable stuff about the war, how is that any better than what Vladimir Putin does in Russia or Xi Jinping does in China? How is that any different than what any other authoritarian, top-down government strongman does? You know, you can't say what you want to say because I don't like it. So I hope that the FCC-regulated entities, like the ones that I am broadcast on, and the much bigger ones in some cases, I hope they have the courage and integrity to continue to report on the war in Iran as they see fit. And I have no doubt that there will be differences of opinion, but that opinion should have a place on the airwaves. Again, the free American airwaves, which we could have a lot more to say about that. So one thing that Carr wrote that is true, he said, broadcasters are running hoaxes and news distortions. Well, he's right about that. And a lot of that is coming. The New York Times did a great story on this, by the way. They did a really detailed analysis of AI-generated images from the Iran war. And they found 110 unique images and videos over just the past 2 weeks that are completely fake. I don't know quite how you determine what's fake and what isn't, but they did. And, you know, so some of them, for example, falsely depicted screaming Israelis cowering as explosions ripped through Tel Aviv. Others depicted Iranians mourning their dead. And American military vessels being bombarded with missiles and torpedoes. I mean, some of this stuff is happening, but the images themselves are lies. They're not true. And in some cases, there was one case where a building was being blown up, and it was allegedly happening during the war. And it was from 2015, something that happened in 2015. This is not just happening in the war in Iran either, of course. We've seen the same kind of misrepresentations in what's going on in Ukraine. It's a problem. It's a real huge problem, and it's not going to get any better if we don't have some way of regulating and managing AI. Social media companies, unfortunately, of course, have done very little to manage their platforms and to, you know, point out fake videos, fake photos, and to take them down. You know, and I like the one critic called, again, because the government has done nothing to step in and try to, you know, try to create that regulatory framework. One critic calls it, quote, state-sanctioned dishonesty. I think that's pretty accurate. And again, most of the AI videos that the New York Times, you know, discovered, 110 of them, most of them were being, you know, promulgated by the government in Iran. But that doesn't to say that we don't have the same problem here. Who can forget Trump flying in an airplane, dumping, you know, excrement on protesters in New York? Bottom line is there's no effort to, well, there is an effort. There are those in Congress and those in the private sector and the public sector who want to see this industry regulated. But the tech billionaires have been lobbying to defeat any legislation, especially at the state level. You know, the state level is where we've seen, you know, real efforts. But the tech industry keeps thwarting those efforts. And they're lobbying for a federal regulatory framework that is very weak. So again, we have our work cut out for us. But for now, anytime you see something online, question its accuracy, question its truthfulness. Dig deep. I'm sorry, it takes more time, but it's important not to be fooled by these images.